Hello everybody, I'm Margot de Coatsworth. By way of introducing myself today at Ask Margot, I'd like to talk about appreciation. And this is me talking to me as much as anything. I've been watching a TV series about people who live underground, and their dream is to see the ocean. Their dream is to see a green tree growing under the sky and to be able to breathe fresh air that's not recycled, and to live with their own choices and not within a very regimented system. I thought, oh, we take so much for granted. I can walk on the beach. I love the trees floating about in the wind outside my window. I love all the gorgeous colours of my garden. I look at the sky and I think, wow, the wonder of it all. To breathe our clean air is a fantastic thing. I know we all share the same air, but having lived recently in a very busy big city, which usually means a degree of pollution, when you come home to your green patch, well, it's just such an enormous privilege. I appreciate it greatly. People dream of such things. Sometimes we feel hard done by. We think, oh, we don't have enough. We don't have it quickly enough. We don't have it served up to us in the way we want. We don't have the right people serving it up to us in the way we want. We're not paid enough. It's too hard. There's too much demanded of us. You know the story we sometimes tell ourselves. I do have the greatest admiration for people who kind of revel in the everyday joy of their lives, the little things, the simple things, sitting in the sunshine with a glass of wine, the intense pleasure of that first cup of coffee in the morning. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that we need to constantly be reminding ourselves, isn't it wonderful that I have this, whatever it is? Isn't it wonderful that I'm breathing, walking, dancing, living, gardening, cooking, whatever it is that makes up your day, that makes up your individual world? Isn't it wonderful that I have a wife, a husband? Isn't it wonderful that I'm single and happy? Whatever it is you already have, let's be grateful for it. The world is so beautiful. Thank you, universe. This food is so delicious. Thank you, universe. I'm so happy to have my friends and family. Thank you, universe. And of course, we're so grateful to be living in a country where we are free and the choice is ours. We can think what we like. We can say what we believe. We can stand up for what counts, what's important, and what's right. That's very cool. I try to always shut down people who only want to talk about what's wrong and how very wrong it is. I've looked at such people and said to them, I don't know that world. That's not my world. That's not to say we don't care about those in need and dealing with dreadfully difficult things. It's just that if you think and see only the dreadful stuff in life, your life will feel like and reflect that. Okay, now let's look at our questions for today. The first question relates to this, actually, and it's brought to you by the letter C. All of our questioners have been awarded a radio name beginning with the letter C. Claude has asked a question of me, and the other day it was about free will. He was cross because of the way things are, and I mean steaming, foot-stamping cross, about the state of affairs in the world. And not only that, but also about people getting sick and dying a lot, and often around him. He really didn't know what to do with his emotion around this or how to keep a lid on how he felt. Somebody in our group at that time said something about, but who's in control of all that? Because Claude was expecting God to step in and to do something better. The question came around to me, what has God got to do with free will when these things clearly seem to be out of our control? I guess this has always been a question from the beginning of time for us, looking at our world and the circumstances around us and feeling frustrated. So often we want to change things and make them better. Why do these things happen to good people? Why doesn't God intervene and set things right? I think with this situation, we have to pull right back and look at it from the biggest perspective possible and also from the earliest time possible. So here's what I do with situations like this and those huge, huge questions of why. Picture this. Once upon a time, a long time ago, before we were born, we were dancing about in another realm, in the same company as God. And he had a brilliant idea. He called us together and said, I've just done an amazing thing, and I've created a planet, which I'm calling Earth. I've filled it up with animals and incredible, complex, beautiful, growing things. It's full of green and has blue skies and the most spectacular scenery. You're going to love it. And next to you, it may well be one of the most glorious things I have ever created. Would any of you like to go down and play on this planet? And of course, we were all incredibly enthusiastic and said, yes, pick me, pick me. And so he did. Then he said, there are just two provisos with this adventure you're about to embark on. I'm going to give you complete free will, so you can be whoever you choose to be. You can do great things or little things. You get to choose, but in your choosing, which I'm calling free will, you will have complete autonomy. So if you mess it up, then you mess it up. My job is not to bail you out. Your job is to do a good job on this planet. So if you're going, you must agree to that. The second thing is that you won't remember who you really are when you arrive. You will forget that you are a glorious, eternal being of unlimited and spectacular potential. You will be able to connect with your true self, but you will have to discover how to do that. I will give you signs, I will give you tips, I will give you triggers, I will give you reminders, but I will not spell it out for you. You must find the essence of who you are when you go there. You will look for it everywhere. You'll look for it in others, you'll look for it in circumstances, you will look for it outside of yourself, but it will be in you, and you have to discover that. So, do you all still want to go? And because we knew we were glorious, immortal beings full of unlimited potential, we say, yes, of course, we want to go. Send us now. And so he did. My point with this little story of mine is that I think our difficulties with how we think God should be fixing the world and maintaining good is a case of mistaken responsibility. It's not God's job to fix our world. It's our job. We are made of the stuff that can do that. We just have to acknowledge it and we have to step into it. We have to resonate with it and with each other. And then just do it. I know that sounds simplistic. It does. But maybe it is just that simple. Maybe we have to stop our whining and start doing. Sometimes I think we've failed to see the power of our united stand. You know that studies of our collective energy have been undertaken. When we have things like World Days of Prayer, for example, the collective energy of us actually changes things. You might say, I don't believe that and I don't pray. Well, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. It just means you don't believe it. The point is we are energetic beings and we have creative power individually and collectively. We are just not using it, or not using it very well or often enough. You might say you still don't believe this, but how will you know if it's true if you haven't tried it? So the next time you're in a discussion when people are saying, look at the mess the world is in, maybe it's time to speak up and say, maybe we're responsible. Somebody decided to go to war. Somebody decided to choose selfishness and greed. We choose those things. God doesn't. Maybe the start is tiny and individual. Maybe we begin to make change by saying, every man on this planet is my brother, and part of my job here is to take care of him, all 8 billion of him. So, Claude, try to pull back from the things that bother you and see the big picture and put your energy there and your focus there. I do know that people don't like to talk about volatile subjects, but we also have a responsibility to speak up when things are not acceptable. Think of all the things, the vile things that have happened in the world and are still being tolerated because nobody said, oh no, There is no way we're going to do that. It's off, it's wrong, and we're not going to be a part of it. That's what we have a voice for. Good on you, Claude, for caring. Bravo. That's step one. Our second question today is from Clara, and it's about how to cope with stress. She said she's been going through a very stressful time recently and just feels she can't cope. She'd like some coping tools, please. She doesn't say exactly what the stress is about. So this is a fairly general advice. Clara, as you haven't told me specifically, these will be suggestions that anybody can take on for feeling like this. Firstly, take a deep breath, and that's always a perfect place to start. It pretty much always gives you a moment to pause. It grounds you. Deep, even breathing has a most profound calming effect on us. So start there. And it means you're not likely to act impulsively or reactively, which is always a good thing. Sometimes it works to say to yourself, in 5 years' time, will this really matter? It's a good question to ask because often in the moment, something can seem lamentous, momentous, or impossible. And looking back, it's just another step in life. So do stop and say to yourself, will this matter in 5 years? It's one way of making sure you don't attach greater importance to something than you really need to. If you decide how to react to circumstances or a particular situation, first of all, decide who you are, what kind of person you are, and what your values are. If you go off your head and get stuck into somebody, you know what that means. That means you're a person who goes off your head and gets stuck into others. What are your life choices and what's important to you? Make sure your reactions are based on that. For example, if you choose to be a peacemaker, a connector of people, an accountable person in your family, whatever the situation is, then hook into that and say, I'm this person and this type of person would react in this particular way. And there's always a way forward. This avoids regret later when you look back and say, oh, I overreacted, or I should have dealt with that more calmly or considered the other point of view. The other thing is sometimes we feel under pressure and we need to identify where that pressure is actually coming from and why it's there. If that's something we can change, we should address it at the root cause. Sometimes we get triggered by or angry about things, and that thing that started it or looks like it's the problem is not what's running underneath. If it's somebody, then it might be time to front up. If it's circumstances that you can shake out and rearrange, then look at it at that point of view. If it's circumstances that you can change and rearrange so that they suit you better and you can cope better, and so you don't feel so pressured by them, it might be time for you to deal with them there. I talked to someone the other day who was under extreme pressure and was not coping, and she said to me, oh, well, it's just the journey. And I said, what on earth does that mean? Then I answered myself and said, that's rubbish. It says absolutely nothing. It just says I'm accepting the stuff that is happening in my life that's just, in fact, unacceptable. Nobody has called us to that kind of so-called journey. That's utter rubbish. Don't accept that for yourself, in your own mind, or your own thinking, or from anybody else. If something is not working in your life and you've done your best, then you've got to change the way you're doing things. It might be time for you to say stop to something or someone. It's interesting to identify the things that make us feel stressful. It might be beneficial to make a list, all the things that make you feel stressed. Don't do 100 of them, just do maybe 10. Break it down into the things you personally can change. Being on time, for example, that's stressful, so stop being late. That's something you can do. The things that someone close to you does, like interrupts you when you're speaking, you can ask them not to do that. And then there are bigger things, like the world not being as nice as it should be, where you can make sure you don't feed into that, by limiting your focus on it. Stop thinking and talking about how dreadful everything is. Now, you can begin with the things you can easily change. Those are the ones that just rely on you for change. And you never know, the flow-on effect of that could be incredible. So, Clara, let's recap. Check your state and your breathing. Decide who you are, which will inform how you want to respond to these pressures in your life, your reactions. Then look at what you can do to change them and change the origin of the stress, if that's what it's about. It's all about taking up your own power, control, and management. We all have that control to a degree, no matter what the situation is and what the obligations are. For example, if having a busy, demanding family is offering more stress than you can handle, maybe it's time to say to yourself, well, we need to reshuffle how we manage this family so I don't feel out of control or like I can't cope. It might be time to put your foot down and require something different from those around you. I hope these ideas help, Clara. I'm sure they will. Best wishes with getting on top of that. Our next question today is about social media madness. The question is from Chloe, and she says she's been kind of hooked on social media recently, and that's messing her up. She says, this pursuit of perfection that seems to come with watching these people produce perfect outfits, perfect bodies, perfect food, perfect homes is just overwhelming, and it just makes her feel bad about herself. And so she's not getting it right, and that she's not good enough. And, well, kind of a failure. I know what you mean, Chloe. I've had a flash or two of that myself. When I look at perfect food, I think to myself, well, somebody has been to the grocery shop to buy all that food and schlep it home, unpack it, put it all into perfect little containers, take out the rubbish and not forget to put the rubbish bin out on rubbish day. Then someone else has come along and wiped all the benches down and done all the dishes and put the dishwasher on and unpacked the dishwasher and put everything back where it belongs. Just remember that all of this goes on behind the scenes. And with food, there are always things that don't quite go the way you want or expect or look anything like the pretty pictures. Someone has spent time arranging that to make it look perfect. They've sped things up, they've clipped things, they've slowed them down, they've edited them. There's a whole lot of work in that. I spent a few days with my brother recently who has 400,000 plus followers and his life is madness. Everything must be fabulous all the time. It's exhausting. I could only be fabulous for 3 days and then I had to have a lie down. With clothes, we all know that not everything fits perfectly all the time, that we don't always have the right elements to put together, the right shoes for the right outfit, the right colour. The percentage of people with perfect bodies is unbelievably tiny, and they're the only ones you are seeing while the rest of us are in PJs or thinking about a diet. They don't look all that flash first thing in the morning as well. So there's a reality behind all of this. Buttons come off, hems come down. There are marks on things that you only notice when you walk out the door. White doesn't stay white. Life happens. Small people have sticky fingers. Dogs jump up. We all sometimes have a bad hair day or a day when we're not feeling in our best shape. I guess it would be perfect if we could see the representation of life on social media as something to help us lift our game a little, to try to cook something fabulous, to set a beautiful table, to employ a new idea, to put on a jacket, to get inspired, but never to make us feel like we're missing the mark in any way. If in the end it becomes too overwhelming, we just have to ban it or banish it or reduce it or be very selective about what we watch. Chloe, if you see something that looks too good to be true, it probably is. My children say to look at the comments, and that can be quite entertaining. People say, well, thanks, that was just a waste of time and I've never said anything so ridiculous. Because not everything that's shown is real. A trick I have learned is never to show the picture of what you plan to cook from Instagram, for example, because the chances are it's not quite going to look like that. You just have to go with the flow and enjoy the concept and aspire to do things that are fun and look great, but not get hooked on it. So that's just by way of a bit of encouragement, Chloe. Our last question today is from Carl. He asked me the other day, what were the most important things to consider in choosing the person you may want to spend your future with? This is a big one, but we still won't spend an inordinate amount of time on it. There's so much to cover. I'll cover a few things, like sharing core values. Fancying someone is not enough. It does help, but honesty, reliability, big picture stuff, it's so important that you resonate on these issues. Being financially compatible is one. Sharing your views on spending, saving, financial goals are essential. Each of you, I believe strongly, should have their own spending money. You can do whatever you like with that, so you don't feel that you're being managed or that your life is no longer your own. Agree amount, and then you can spend it on whatever you like. It's good to share things that you do together, but it's also important to have things that you do as an individual. Things like long-term goals are very important. Consider values around family, career, finance, we've covered that, beliefs, lifestyle, children, time spent with children, time spent with family, where you're going to live, all of those practical things. It's important to discuss those and have agreement before you enter into a long-term arrangement with somebody. If your idea of an ideal future is lounging on the couch, eating chocolate and watching soaps, and your partner's is an early start, run around the block a couple of times before hiking up a mountain on their way to take over the world before lunch, then you need to consider this. Will that make a good match? Look for someone who knows how to support you in both good times and bad. How do they handle disagreements? Are they willing to communicate and compromise? Do they support who you are and what's important to you? If they try and duck this one, you must set them free. This person should be the kindest, most supportive person in your world. Admiration and respect are essential. See how they feel about family. If you love your family and like to spend lots of time with them, do they feel the same way? Look for someone who can handle stress, setbacks, and life challenges with maturity, because nobody wants to be married to a baby, whether it's a man or a woman. And it's exhausting to be around people who want to argue the point all the time. If you can get a sense of humour, that's great. Also try and find someone who has a life of their own, or they may lean on you in an unbalanced way. It's their job to be happy and fulfilled and not yours to make them that. You're just the bonus. Listen to your instincts, and if something feels off, don't smooth over it. You must attend to it, because just because someone has a pretty face or you fancy them madly, it's not enough to go the distance. People talk about willingness to commit, which sounds like you're going to have to take medicine, doesn't it? If someone doesn't want to grab your hand enthusiastically and skip into the future with you, then you don't need them in your life, because you're worth more than that. Lastly, can you see yourself growing old with this person? If that doesn't seem madly appealing or seems too dull, don't do it. It's your life, and that's a lot of time to spend with one person. Do you want to take care of them when they're old and wrinkly like you might be? I think that's a big question. It's not just when you're young and fancy free, but when you're older and there might be other kinds of challenges in life, is that the person you want to be committed to? I hope some of those are helpful tips and things to look at. And that's our last question for today. Thank you so much for joining me at Ask Margot. Do send in any questions you have to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me under the contact tab at margotunlimited.com, Margot with a T. Don't forget, you can also find Ask Margot episodes on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Thank you, Coast, for that. So let's complete our day with the word, our message from the universe. It feels like this might be exactly what someone needs to hear today. Here we go. You are not designed to wait on another. Stop doing it. You are the magnet for you. Go on, magnetize. Just be you and carry your clear message to the world in the way only you can. Do that. Do it in everything, and that will ensure your success. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye for today.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.